Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome, everybody, to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin, as always, joined by Aaron Larsoul. Aaron, I feel like it's been forever since we spoke. I feel like...
Yeah, I was looking through...
How have you been? How are the kids?
How are the kids? How's the wife?
Little Johnny's in college now, right?
Yeah. He got a water polo scholarship, actually. people that look like me are known for their swimming prowess. So,
look... I wasn't going to make the joke. I was going to let you make that joke, and then we were going to move right along.
And now we can.
All right, we're going to try to get in and out of this one because we spoke for like an hour and a half last night. So,
which was a lot of fun. And by the way, thank you to everybody that
that came
on to chat with us. And yeah, it was fun.
Let me see if I have. I'm gonna add to our little library. The best moment, I think, from last night's show. But while I do that, we have to talk about the Lakers apparently all together deciding, hey, our hamstrings, our ankles, our quads, just all going to stop working right at the same time.
Yeah, I feel a kinship with the boys. As I said on Twitter, it's been a while since I've had a drink, and one of the terrible parts of that, I mean it's a good thing, but one of the terrible parts of that is the incredibly excessive amount of surgeries I have had. Now I feel every single one of them. Harrison made the joke that maybe I would be getting minutes tonight because of all the injuries. My body does not feel good, so I don't think I have anything as far as minutes tonight. I don't know, there's
other ways to deal with that pain than alcohol, right? There's Tylenol, Aleve.
I take a lot of Advil, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of Advil.
Yeah, I'm going to need it. So the reason we're going a little late right now is because I'm an idiot, one. and then two, like I was out back. I was legitimately out back chopping wood.
Oh, so like, chop wood, carry water.
Yeah, I was out back, and you know, my arms, my forearms, my hands, everything is going to be sore for like the next month or so. Okay. So like I got, you know, sometimes you get caught up in a task, and I looked down and I was like, do we usually go at one or two? And then I get a text from you on my computer. I get texts from my computer and on my phone, and I didn't get anything on my phone. And I look here on my computer, hey, are we going to go? Are we off today? I was like, shit, damn it, it was one. So this was my bad. All my bad on this one. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Lakers' injuries. We're going to talk about a 10-day season. We're going to talk about how the Lakers can maybe get through these injuries with the help of a couple 10 days. A lot of stuff that we're going to dive right into right now. But first, if you missed last night's show, this was the best moment from it.
Individually, he does well. But it's a team sport. I'll just put it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Team sport.
Hey, I appreciate this so much.
Kadeem's out here shitting on his son's team.
Hey. Kadeem said, "Can we get my son some help, please?"
Shouts to Kadeem for coming on, and shouts to everybody for coming on. Yeah, and helping us out with some topics, with some questions, some comments, some takes. Even got a couple of Orca facts in there.
No one yelled at me, which was kind of disappointing.
Maybe it was just on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was weird. Well, typically people say they behave differently when it's you to the person.
Yes.
Whereas
that's true.
Online, it's a lot easier to say certain things. But
of course.
All right, so. The list right now of injuries that the Lakers are dealing with, obviously Anthony Davis. We come to find out that Austin Reeves and Lonnie Walker are going to be out for at least a couple weeks. They're going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks. Troy Brown was questionable to play. He has been since downgraded to out, so he is not going to be available tonight against Atlanta. That's like half the rotation. between Anthony Davis and Lonnie and Reeves, that's like three of the top five players I look forward to watching every night from the Lakers.
Well, and it's also like everybody on the roster between about 6'4 and 6'6. I mean, well, JTA is probably technically 6'6, but he plays more of a four and occasional five. But it is definitely like, yes.
I had a feeling that
all the medium-sized guys.
Something was up when we come to find out this morning on like the first or second day that you can actually sign these 10-day contracts.
Yeah, yesterday was the first.
The Lakers already agreed to one with Sterling Brown, brother of Shannon Brown.
Let's not say agreed yet.
Working on one.
There you go.
Please, for the love of God, dude, they need to get it done. They need to get it done.
You're going
to
get me in trouble.
They need bodies tonight.
Working towards, I believe the Shams, I think the phrase he used was had momentum towards or working towards. I think
usually that means it's done, but they haven't announced. I haven't been.
The team has not announced it yet, so I'm going to be vague.
Well, he's not. I feel like you can talk about. He's a free agent. He's not on.
No,
the team.
Yeah, no. That's I not can't tampering. No. It's not tampering. I can talk about him. He is a free agent. Yeah.
The Lakers do not. They do not respond to unsubstantiated reports. Right.
Until it's done. Done. Until it's official. I will say this though. For everybody,
we gonna have a Darren Collison thing where it's like three different attempts at signing him.
See, now I almost got away. I almost got away with that. Have I told this story on the air?
Probably. We've told a lot of stories. The one about Darren Collison at the Lakers game?
Yes. Have I told that one?
Yeah, you've told that one.
I was just playing the long game. See, I got him in the end. I got him in the end. And I would have it feels like Scooby-Doo. I would have gotten away with it with nobody knowing. If it wasn't because McMiniman took the picture that I was in at the game and he posted it and started using it on SportsCenter, which was, I mean, it my phone.
At least you had nice shoes on that night.
I did have good shoes. Yeah. But what really for specifically Lakers Twitter, what really did me in because Dave didn't like tag me or didn't say my name was Pete on Twitter when Pete was still active on Twitter. Said something to the basically like tagged me in it and made reference to the fact that I was around and and then it was not good. And then I started getting blamed for it.
I loved it. Like one of the underrated aspects of that signing last year was that like, cause the running joke with the Lakers was that everybody on that roster last year was washed, right? Like, that's why a lot of those guys do not currently have NBA jobs. And, you know, it was like the funny part to me that I don't think I even made a joke at the time, but now it's kind of striking me how funny it is that, you know, Darren Collison, obviously he retired for a year and that's going to impact his rhythm coming back. But even when he was thinking about coming back, it took like another 6 to 8 months for the Lakers to actually get him in the uniform. So it was like, hold on, Darren, you're not quite washed yet to play on this team.
<That's> also should. Yeah, yesterday was the first day, and to like the report, Shams' report came out first about that the Lakers were making progress, or whatever phrase he used, that it was close or they were making progress towards a deal or whatever it was. And people start, and with the with Tyler Dorsey with his workout yesterday, people were complaining about you know, both of them being 6'5". And I think we have our answer now, right? I mean, obviously the Lakers still need more wing help and bigger bodies. Would love to have more, you know, 6'6", 6'7", 6'9" guys on the roster. Any? That would be useful.
Like any not named LeBron or Wenyan?
Okay, it's fair. but I think this is an indication, right? This is an indication of maybe why those kind of guys, you know, kind of 2-3s are going to be useful, especially in the near term, like on a 10-day contract, right? In the near term, for the roster as a whole, and for the long term, I agree, right? The Lakers need more 6'6 to 6'9 guys, but for right now, for a 10-day right now specifically, this somebody of that size, should it happen, obviously fills a need. And because then we later learned that Austin was going to be out at least a few weeks, and Troy's not going to play tonight, and Lonnie is still out. So, I mean, more medium-sized guys are also pretty useful yeah. right now as well. Yeah, and I said this on Twitter, if the signing does happen, there are minutes for Brown
right away
tonight.
I think he could start. Like
that's tough, but
I mean, because look, right now the available guard/wings, right? Pat, Russ, Dennis. Mm-hmm. Like one of those guys, Russ is going to have to be with the second unit. Like I don't think he's going to start.
Right.
So that right there with Troy Brown not available, like unless the Lakers are going to go, unless they want to go with LeBron at the 3, Wenyan at the 4, and Bryant at the 5, you know, with Pat and Schroeder in the backcourt, I think unless they're willing to do that, which they haven't been willing to do to this point, and that, again, makes you kind of thin with that second unit, which they're going to be regardless because of the situation, I think Brown can start. And he has... He has, you know, a history with Ham. They were in Milwaukee together.
That is a meaningful portion of this. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why? Yeah. Yeah.
He can also really shoot it. He didn't last year in Dallas. He can really. He's a plus shooter, or has been generally. And
he certainly was in Milwaukee.
However. I think the differentiating thing, especially for a 10-day, and especially if you're going to need help immediately, is his familiarity with Darvin.
Yeah.
So Darvin is going to know his strengths, know his weaknesses, and theoretically be able to put him more quickly in positions to succeed without him having a full understanding of the playbook and all of these kind of things.
Yeah.
And chemistry with his teammates. Even saying that, starting, like, the dude's not even signed yet, so starting tonight is a tough
act. I mean, it just goes to show how wild the situation is, like how desperate their need is for players that size and that prototype. The other aspect of this that it pains me to say, and you know, you and I think you're drinking a sparkling water, I'm drinking a regular water, so we can't quite pour one out for the homie here, but I think it's time to send Damian Jones on his way. I think the Lakers have too desperate a need especially because Lonnie and Austin aren't guaranteed to come back in 2 weeks. They're going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So especially seeing as we don't have, it's still kind of ambiguous with their return timeline. We got to see how Sterling Brown looks and all of that. The Lakers have already been thin at the wing. I would happily, you know, do some version of even if it means like the Lakers doing what the Celtics did with Noah Vonleh, right? Sending him to San Antonio for some fake second rounder, maybe some cash considerations, opening up a roster spot and bringing in, my preference would be either Mo Harkless or Josh Jackson. those are the two guys that I've been kind of eyeing to see what's going on there. But look, Damian Jones hasn't been able to get off of the bench, even given how thin the Lakers have been up front. I don't think that's changing anytime soon. And again, it sucks to talk about my large adult son, my large athletic adult son this way. But again, desperate times call for kind of desperate measures.
Yes. I mean, yes. The issue there, though, now, if the second scenario you laid out is available, maybe. The first, because he has guaranteed money next year also, makes
it's minimum
cutting him,
money, though.
What's that?
It's minimum money.
Yeah, like I think it's slightly above the minimum. But yes,
yeah.
That makes that pretty... Yeah, I mean, like having just dead cap, that's why trading him is if you're trying to get off of him, because there is a, obviously with the tendon, there is an open roster spot right now.
That would be going to Brown though.
Correct.
They don't have.
Yeah,
two
that's open what I'm saying. Spots. You don't need to open one up for that. Is what I'm saying. Now,
right,
if there is somebody else you want, then yes, you would have to. But if that is the case, then trading him, as the trade you mentioned, you know, trading him into somewhere with cap space to just take on him and send money and send something that isn't going to actually become anything.
Yeah.
You know, a top 59 protected second round pick or something like that.
I wish they would let you trade like second rounders. I feel like you should be allowed to trade in perpetuity. Like, I understand first rounders, there's like a, what is it, 9-year cap on them or something like that.
You mean like how far out
you're allowed to trade them? So, all right. 7 years.
That's why the latest 27 and 29 are the only ones available now. Yeah.
I feel like second rounders, you should be allowed to trade in perpetuity.
Like, you want a 31, 32?
No, make it more ridiculous.
And I don't mean 8 years from now. I mean a 3,031, 32.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Again, it's not going to become anything as it is. Like, they're going to, you know, like you said, top 59 and a half protect it. But like, why not? Like, why not? All right. The Lakers are attaching a 2075 second rounder to Damian Jones.
Well, I mean, one of the arguments, I mean, it depending on your worldview, it can be, you can determine how credible of an argument it is or how swaying of an argument it is. But one of the arguments I've heard people use for the Lakers trading the 27 and 29 picks is that the world may not be around in 27 or 29 and or 29.
Yeah.
So I guess like that 3,031 pick, second rounder, I don't know. But then you're going to have to figure out like a new thing to get upset about. Because if you could trade in perpetuity, now you can't say that you can't do your bit about there's an 8-year-old somewhere that the Lakers are looking at. Because that now somebody would have to be negative 1,000 or negative 900 and something years old.
I'm not saying first. I understand why there's a cap on first rounders, right? Like, I get it. You know, like if you're a GM and you could trade meaningful first round picks into 2073 or something stupid like that, when you definitely aren't going to be there, you might not even be alive. Like obviously that's something that the league can't do. But if like these second rounders that are so heavily protected that they don't become anything anyway, like let's just make it as ridiculous as possible and allow people to laugh at Damian Jones being attached to a 3,033 second rounder going to San Antonio. And then even better, if we're all here still in the year 3,033, that pick going for somebody that people have long since forgotten existed, Damian Jones, being purveying finally, like that's even funnier. I'm here for the ridiculousness about it. What do you think happens first? The Lakers trade for a wing or the GOP gets a House Speaker?
That's funny.
Unnamed
cognac
that.
Is delicious.
All right, so more seriously, how do the Lakers get through this? Like, you know, obviously you do the whole like everybody has to step up, blah 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 blah. But Like,
yeah, I mean, but that's only
they
like,
were already up against the baseline of size and physicality. They were below, I think, the baseline of size and physicality before they're only two, like 6'4 to 6'6 guys got hurt.
Well, so, Max is 6'6 and he's, I think he might, he may have to be in the short term. He may have to be part of the answer.
He's thinner than the wires that connect our mics. Like this guy.
He is slender.
Do you think
he has not had a chance to fully develop in an NBA weight program yet to get his grown man body yet, his grown man strength and muscles and all that. Yeah, but too bad. I mean, like, the next man up is a thing.
So you think he starts?
I would start him ahead of
Sterling
unnamed
Brown.
Player X that may or may not sign with the Lakers and be available tonight just because so he's been around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
I don't.
He has seniority.
I don't want. We talked about this a little bit last night. I don't remember who asked this question. So I apologize, and you can yell at me about it. But, you know, the thought of like, we talked about like who would be the starters if the roster as it was currently constructed, if everybody was healthy. Because TB has been playing really well, do you then, you know, move Anthony Davis to the four? And I don't think that will happen, and I wouldn't do that. And my reasoning for that is mostly just because I don't think LeBron can be a full, like, guard threes full-time anymore, especially if he's going to have the offensive creation load that he is going to have. Mm-hmm. So starting him at the three, your thought of, you know, Wenyen at four and TB at five and LeBron at three or JTA at four and LeBron, like, I don't see LeBron just being a full-time wing anymore. So I think LeBron is going to be the four and I think he should be the four and TB is going to start. So yeah, I mean, I think it maybe is Max Christie at three tonight. There's, as you said, there's not a lot of options. And you said you made the thing of, you know, it is next man up. That is true. And that's what we saw against Miami. But like at some point that's not something that is sustainable, right? You can get up and rally around the flag and all of that stuff here and there. And as I mentioned again last night, also last night, and we'll say again now, that is more likely and is more sustainable if you have someone like Patrick Beverley, who is going to, like, you know, that force of will kind of stuff. And with Russ, too, to a lesser extent. But, like, you know, there's what is the, like, analogy of, you know, there's leaks in the dam and you're plugging with fingers, you know, you're plugging all the holes. Eventually, you run out of fingers. So, like, you're right. Max Christie is 6'6 and, you know, whatever, 175 pounds. You see, but
is he that much?
Yeah.
You just take a shower?
Has got a brick in each pocket, but like, okay, like this is why you draft him, right? This is like, obviously you don't want to be forced to have to play someone, you know, ahead of their role or an outsized role for them, but like there's not, as you mentioned, there's not a lot of options.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the next couple days go, and certainly over the next week or so, because, you know, It's tough, you know, trading or waiving or whatever they would have to do with Jones, who isn't playing anyway. Like, Jones would be relied upon if Bryant got hurt, right? And so, like, once you trade that guy, once you send that guy away, that ship has now sailed. And if you have another issue come up, then you're really thin up there. So, like, it's
in that case, you are starting Wenyen or LeBron at center. And you're definitely closing with LeBron at center.
Yeah, and, you know, look, the Lakers did reportedly work out DeMarcus Cousins.
No.
Yeah, they did.
The Lakers did not.
Okay.
And that's not what the report says either, I don't think.
Or they're preparing? Oh, they're getting ready to next week or something like that.
Again. No, because did means, like, they're already have done it, and then there's a decision to make now.
I guess. I mean, the decision is kind of sort of made whenever Sterling Brown signs that contract. you know, so that's after that, you can't really work out.
I'm not saying DeMarcus Cousins will not be worked out by the Lakers. I am saying that DeMarcus Cousins has not been worked out by the Lakers.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, so, you know, the Lakers in that hypothetical, like, I don't think you work out DeMarcus Cousins, and you certainly don't bring him in if you still have Damian Jones on the roster, because I feel like that's a misuse of that roster spot given their needs on the wing, the need they already had, and then the need that's made even more desperate by these injuries. I just don't see that. It was like when last year they had, you know, they brought in Isaiah Thomas and they still desperately needed people on the wing. And I was just like, why? What the hell? You know, it's like, he's still a name and he still got buckets, I guess, while he was out there or whatever. But the Lakers leaked points.
Didn't he have like 20 in his first game back?
He was wild.
I
think the guy he was guarding scored 23 in that quarter or whatever. But yeah.
What does Trae Young have to do with any of this? Speaking of guys that are
going to... all right. So last thing here before we start getting ready to get up out of here. And yeah, this is going to be a shorter show. Again, my fault for that. But is there anybody... Like, you're allowed to talk about free agents, right? Yes. I mentioned Josh Jackson. I mentioned Mo Harkless. Al-Farouq Aminu is also out there. Carmelo Anthony is also still out there. Is there anybody who you kind of have your eye on as the Lakers? Like, they're still reluctant, obviously, to trade for a wing, and these teams are still reluctant to trade said wings. The Lakers do still have a need, and it's made even more desperate, like I just said a second ago, on the wing. So is there any available wings that the Lakers, I know they already worked out Mo Harkless. I haven't heard that they've worked out Josh Jackson. They obviously are familiar with Carmelo Anthony. Is there anybody that you kind of have your eye on?
So,
without divulging too much and getting yourself in trouble,
obviously. I would say, with apologies to Javi, to Golden Knight Graphics, I would put Carmelo at the bottom of that list because the Lakers have a handful of issues, but the shooting one has corrected some, and that's all Carmelo's gonna do.
Alex wrote really well on Silver Screen about the Lakers' proficiency from the corners and how that's really upped itself recently.
Carmelo can shoot it from the corners.
For sure, yeah.
But I think a bigger need, and when we say like a wing, the bigger need is more live bodies and guys that can guard other wings, and that's not what Carmelo's going to do. So you don't have to have Patrick Beverley or LeBron guarding Jason Tatum full time.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that can kind of be an athlete. And that's one of the other Laker deficiencies is
athleticism.
And Harkless and Al-Farouq Aminu have both had times as Portland thinking, calling people defensive stoppers, right? You know, wing kind of the 3-4, you know, guys you're going to put on, you know, KD when the Warriors were blowing them out every year or so. But then there's the other part of
Ruben Patterson. Should they?
I think my Ruben Patterson stories need to be off the air, but we had Ruben and Patterson when I was there for a while. Actually, I like Ruben a lot. And actually, I saw him at the last time I saw him was at Kobe's jersey retirement. The Lakers did a party for him before the dual jersey retirement. So that was actually the last time I saw Ruben. But there is another thing, and you see it with Lonnie Walker and with Troy Brown being brought in. There's a thing called the second draft, where guys have some sort of pedigree, and Josh Jackson has the highest pedigree of any of these guys, based on draft position. And so teams, and it's not just the Lakers, there's lots of teams that are inclined to take more chances on that because there was something there at the beginning. there was something enticing at the beginning.
Rob really believes in pedigree. Like his transaction history, if you go back and look at it, it's a lot of guys with pedigree above all else.
So, but that's the thing with like with Lonnie, was a first round pick and late lottery pick, and with Troy Brown was a late lottery pick. And sometimes, you know, the talent is usually there. Sometimes guys can't get out of their own way. Sometimes the system is just bad. But sometimes it just doesn't work, right? Like with Josh, it hasn't worked anywhere. With, I mean, Phoenix.
He's had a couple flashes.
Phoenix,
but yeah, for the
I mean,
most
but
part.
Phoenix is kind of notorious for this, right? Like what happened with Marquise Chris was, I think, the fourth or fifth pick. Didn't work there. And then, you know, has bounced around the league also. But those kind of guys, higher lottery picks, get more chances to see if they can figure it out, see if it is the environment. Dragon Bender is another terrible example from Phoenix, right? But those guys get.
I think he lives in Vegas now. Does I he? Think, he, well, he should. That's the only place he plays.
And he's still young. He is still an explosive athlete. He's 6'8", maybe 6'9". So, I mean, yeah, those are fine names. But as I tell you guys in Slack all the time, there's a reason why guys, this is why everybody says I hated Stanley and Wenyan. Well, nobody accused me of hating Stanley, but it's the same thing applies to like these guys when they come in are going to play hard, and give you what they have. And especially when you're a decent size and a decent athlete, it can look decent going, you know, compared to what the alternatives are. With those, but like the playing hard thing doesn't work in the NBA. Playing harder than everybody else doesn't really work. There is a reason why these guys are available. Right. And everybody was upset about Stanley being traded, and okay, well then he got like, he's bounced around even since then. So there's a reason, like I would caution anybody. Yeah. I mean, those are fine names to bring in and see what they have and see if they can help, because they are certainly a, fill a need of, you know, some wing-ish size, you know, like traditional 3-4 size and good athletes. But I would not expect miracles. There's a reason. The guys that are available, there's a reason they're available.
Yeah, I agree with that. I still, like, actually Stanley was an example of what you're talking about, betting on pedigree, right? He was a lottery pick.
Yeah, he was the 8th pick, I think, yeah.
7th or 8th. Yeah. That's
exactly right. Yeah.
One of the weirder things.
Wenyan was a first round pick too.
My lifetime is that modern day just doesn't produce pro players. It's the weirdest thing. It's like, it's this powerhouse of high school basketball, but they just do not produce pro players.
In high school. He was so good in high school.
Who? Stanley?
He is among the best high school players I've ever seen.
See, like I would have bet whatever dollar I make on in my future back when I was in high school on Cedric Bozeman being like good in the pros. I thought for sure that guy was going to be it. And
he wasn't even
once he wasn't,
UCLA.
I was like, well, right. But like once he just kind of like was whatever, I was like, all right, something's going on at modern day. And it's only continued. Like they just do not produce pro players.
Stanley was
commensurate with like the amounts of success that they have, you know, kind of organizationally. All right. So, yeah, I personally, again, would make the bet on Josh Jackson that the Lakers made on Stanley Johnson last year. You joke about Stanley, but like my buddy in San Antonio is swearing by what he's seen from Stanley to this point. So I still believe. And if the San Antonio Spurs ever decide to waive him, I would happily bring him back. I would be through the roof, over the moon, if they could bring back Stan the Man.
I mean, okay.
All right, so there's another player you hate. We're just officially...
No, Stanley's fine. Stanley's fine. I just think there needs to be some.
There's a ceiling. There for sure is a ceiling. I'm not saying that like I would trust Stanley Johnson as my starting wing in a final series. No, but like again, it's like we talk about all the time about with these guards that are trying to play small forward. Yeah, Lonnie Walker is a better player than Stanley Johnson, but is he a better small forward than Stanley Johnson?
Yes.
I don't think so. No, he's not.
He's not a better power forward, but he is a better small forward.
The numbers do not say that he is.
Well, you don't just get to take him out of all the lineups he's in.
The combinations of
6-1, 6-1, 6-3.
Look, like, I love Lonnie's game. I love Lonnie's game is like, you know, when he's put in the proper role. Small forward, not the proper role.
No, I would prefer to see him as a 2 than a 3, but
I'd prefer him to see him as a 1 over a 3.
He's not a point guard.
I'd rather see him as a 1 than a 3.
He's point guard size. He is not a point guard.
He's not small forward size.
He's small forward skilled, and his athleticism helps him more as a 3 than it would as a 1. Lonnie Walker is not initiating offense. Then you want LeBron to do all of it.
Yeah.
That's not a thing anymore.
But if you have Austin out there, he could initiate offense before Lonnie. And I think that's enough secondary ball handling there with Lonnie, Austin, and LeBron as your like 1, 2, 3.
I do not agree with you. I do not agree with you.
All right.
Austin is not a point guard. Lonnie is not a point guard. Austin is
neither
more
was
of a point
KCP.
Guard than Lonnie.
KCP was not a point guard. Alex Caruso, not even really a point guard either.
You're right on both of those things.
And they were great next to LeBron because you don't need a point. Like, this is the lesson that the Lakers refused to learn next to LeBron. You don't need a point guard next to him.
How many seasons ago was that?
I would still say.
It was 3 seasons ago.
It was 3 seasons ago, and I would still say that if Alex Caruso and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope were your starting backcourt next to LeBron right now, the Lakers would be significantly better than they have looked at any point with Russell Westbrook.
I agree with that, but that is too much to put on LeBron offensively. I need a point guard out there, or at least a combo guard. Lonnie's
this
not
is
going to
divulge
really
into like a 45-minute conversation top of the one that we've had to this point.
No. I got to go get a haircut. No, we're not doing that. But I do agree with you. Yes, if KCP and Caruso were still around, the Lakers would be better. Yes, congratulations. Hurrah.
All right. That is going to do it for this episode and this week's episodes here on the Silver Spoon and Roll Podcast Network. Look, we are now into like the thick of it, right? Now that 10 days are a thing, now that there has been the first official transaction, the first official trade here in the NBA. Yeah. So we are going to be getting
landscape changing.
Hey, it wouldn't surprise me again because of pedigree if the Lakers brought in Vonleh for a workout. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I think he has. I think that was part of the transaction. Maybe not officially, but there was part of the reporting around the transaction was that the Spurs were going to waive. They were going to waive.
Oh, I suspect they are going to waive him. I just didn't think they had yet.
Yeah. Whenever they do, I think the Lakers will eventually at least work him out. I would imagine, but we'll see. Again, apologies for going short. That is all my fault for going out there and chopping wood for way too long. That's not even a euphemism. It was literally me on my back patio.
For what? What are we for a fire? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
I got one of those solo stove thingies for the back patio.
Okay.
And it's fun. I enjoy it. Enjoy it quite a bit. Mm. Sit out there with a cigar, a whiskey, watch a movie or a game, whatever.
That's living nice. Right there.
It's been quite nice. Yeah. That's come on out, dude. I've been telling you for years. Come on out. All right. That is going to do it here. As you hear my son screaming in the background. Come on out. Shut up, Miles. I'm kidding. He's with Jeff. All right. Again, that is going to do it here. We'll talk to you all next week.